Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This has been a long, winding process that is about to conclude tonight in what I think is going to be known as one of the most important votes that any member of this body can cast, not only for this session, but for the future, for decades to come, of the future of the voting process and the citizens of the United States. I'm pleased to present to the House the Conference Report H.R. 3295, the Help America Vote Act of 2002. This legislation will have a profound and positive impact on the way we conduct federal elections in this country. At the heart of the bill are some fundamental principles. One, that every eligible citizen shall have the right to vote. Two, that no legal vote will be canceled by an illegal vote. Three, that every vote will be counted equally and fairly according to the law. When this legislation goes into effect, the voting citizens in this country will have the right to a provisional ballot, so no voter will be turned away from a polling place. No voter will be disenfranchised just because their name does not appear on a registration list. Henceforth, instead of simply being told to go home, the voters will be able to cast a provisional ballot, which will be counted according to state law. Voters will now also be able to have the opportunity to check for errors and verify the accuracy of their ballot in privacy before it's cast. No more will voters have to wonder if their vote was properly recorded or not. By guaranteeing them the right to verify the accuracy of their ballot in privacy, voters will be able to leave the polling place confident and certain that their vote was cast and counted in complete secrecy as they intended it to be. This bill contains tremendous advances for individuals with disabilities. This legislation requires that every polling place in the country have at least one voting system that is accessible to the disabled, meaning individuals with disabilities, including the blind and visually impaired. They will now have the right to cast a secret and secure ballot in the same manner as all other Americans do. No longer will individuals with disabilities have to rely on an assistant or compromise the secrecy of their ballot. They'll be able to vote in a private and independent manner, the same way all their fellow citizens do, many for the first time in their lives. The legislation establishes a maximum error rate for voting system performance. This error rate is a measure of the performance of voting system prototypes under laboratory conditions to determine that the system counts votes accurately in accordance with national standards established in sections 3.2.1 of the voting system standards adopted by the FEC. I ask unanimous consent that section 3.2.1 be inserted into the record. At the heart of our election system is the process of how we maintain our records on who is eligible to vote. Currently, thousands of election jurisdictions across the country manage these records independently. Some employ the latest technologies and database management techniques to ensure accuracy and reliability. Others need improvement. This bill will require each state to develop a statewide registration system. These systems will modernize, centralize, and improve current methods for ensuring the accuracy of registration lists. The current system in many states creates inefficiencies and duplications as voters often move from one jurisdiction to another within a state without notifying the jurisdiction that they used to live in before they made the move. The result is that a single individual may appear on more than one registration list in a state. These statewide systems will make it possible for states to more effectively maintain voter registration information as they should. States will have more accurate systems that protect voters from being mistakenly removed from the list while ensuring that costly duplicates that invite voter fraud are quickly removed. The list maintained by the state will be an official list used to determine who is registered to vote on election day. Uniformity, integrity in the system will be assured as local election jurisdictions will no longer be able to maintain separate lists. This bill contains important new guarantees for military and overseas voters. Military voters will be guaranteed assistance and information that they need from the Department of Defense so they can complete and return their ballots on time. The military is required to mark all ballots so it can be determined when they were mailed, so no valid military ballot will be rejected for lack of a postmark. All enlistees will receive a voter registration form upon enlistment. We all know how important that is for those who are serving their country and laying their lives on the line. State election officials must establish a single office where military and overseas voters can get information on how to vote in that state. For the first time, they will be required to accept ballots mailed early from military personnel whose duties, for example, on a submarine, may prevent them from mailing ballots on a date close to the election. For the first time, we will have a report on the number of applications received and absentee ballots sent out to military and overseas voters, together with the number of those ballots that have been returned. Studies of these numbers may help us determine how to future improve participation and turnout among those voters. Our election system is dependent on tens of thousands of election officials and 1.5 million volunteer poll workers in over 7,000 jurisdictions serving over 150 million voters across this great country. In a general election for federal office, all of these people come together during a 24-hour period to choose our leaders. It is an incredibly complicated process that must be choreographed precisely to ensure its success. This means that education and training is critical to the success of our election system. This legislation provides needed funds to complete that task across the United States. A provision in this package that has been the subject, frankly, of some controversy is the voter ID provision that was included in the Senate-passed bill and is included in this conference report. I want to emphasize this provision does not require voters to present an actual photo ID. In recognition of the fact that some citizens do not have such an ID, the bill allows a voter a number of options to identify themselves, including a bank statement, utility bill, or government check. The provision applies only to first-time voters who register by mail. Language has been added to ensure that it will be administered in a uniform and non-discriminatory manner, Mr. Speaker. The voter ID provision is very important and will go a long way to enhancing the integrity of our election process. People should not be permitted to register by mail and then vote by mail without ever having to demonstrate in some fashion they are the actual human being who is eligible to vote. And I think this is at least the minimum we can ask. This provision will help to end the practice of ghost voting, whereby people who do not exist are miraculously somehow able to vote. We should all keep in mind that a person whose vote is canceled out by an illegal vote has been disenfranchised every bit as much as an individual who has simply also been turned away from the polls. And in either case, that is not the correct thing to do. This ID provision will protect against fraud of this type, and I'm glad the conference saw fit to include it in the package. Mr. Speaker, the election that took place in November of 2000 demonstrated there were serious problems in our election system. While the initial attention was focused on Florida, we've all learned over the past 2 years that the problems encountered were not unique, but in fact were widespread. We just simply didn't know it because there wasn't an election of the magnitude of the presidential that brought all of this to light through the national media. While the problems varied from state to state, one common problem was a failure to devote sufficient resources to election infrastructure. Not surprisingly, when state and local officials are faced with a decision of how to spend their limited resources and have to choose between things citizens use every day, like roads and schools, or spend it on equipment that might get used only a couple of times a year, like election equipment. The latter has often come up short, and this bill will help to solve that. This lack of resources has left states with old and unreliable voting equipment, inadequate training and education of voters and poll workers, and frankly, poor registration systems. While state and local governments have been charged with the responsibility of running elections for federal office, they have simply received no assistance from the federal government. This bill changes that. It is time for the federal government to provide some funding to make sure that the world's greatest democracy has an election system it can have pride and confidence in. And remember, we take our thoughts of democracy across the waters and we try to monitor elections. We have to have our own house in order so that we have the confidence that other countries will see that our system is the best it can be. The Help America Vote Act will provide federal financial assistance to the tune of $3.9 billion in authorized funding over the next 3 years. We can no longer ask state and local governments to bear all the expense without any assistance from us. I would also note that according to figures from the Congressional Research Service and the State Department, the United States has spent more than $3 billion over the past 7 years to promote democracy abroad. I support that. I think we need to be promoting democracy in other countries. I just believe we need to start spending some federal dollars to bolster our own democracy here at home. I would also note that meeting the requirements of this act will not be cheap. If we want and expect state and local governments to meet the requirements we are imposing on them, we will have to provide the funding that it will make it possible for them to do so. If we don't, we have done nothing more than pass another unfunded mandate to the states, and we don't want to do that. This bill will cause states and localities to fundamentally restructure their election systems in a host of tremendous ways. We need to provide the funding to make sure that happens. In addition to the funding it provides, the bill will assist the states with their election administration problems by creating a new Federal Election Assistance Commission. This independent bipartisan entity will be responsible for providing advice, guidance, and assistance to the states. It will act as a clearinghouse for information and make recommendations on best practices. I want to stress that the name of the commission, the Election Assistance Commission, is not an accident. The commission's purpose is to assist states with solving their problems. It is not meant and does not have the power to dictate to states how to run their elections. This will not be a bill where Washington, D.C. turns around and says, this is the way you'll do it. It will not have rulemaking authority. A fundamental premise of the legislation on the commission was to have no rulemaking authority, and it cannot impose its will on the states. But I've got to tell you, it has a heart to this commission, and it has the ability to make changes. This commission was an important point my colleague Steny Hoyer and I talked about when we devised the Ney-Hoyer bill, because we want to make sure it worked for local governments, and we wanted to make sure that this would be carried out. Historically, elections in this country have been administered at the state and local level. This system has been and has had many benefits that have to be preserved. The dispersal of responsibility for election administration has made it impossible for a single centrally controlled authority to dictate how elections will be run and thereby be able to control the outcome. This leaves the power and responsibility for running elections right where it needs to be, in the hands of the citizens of this country. Local control has the further added benefit of allowing for flexibility so that local authorities can tailor their procedures to meet demands and unique community needs. Further, by leaving the responsibility for election administration in the hands of local authorities, if a problem arises, the citizens who live within their jurisdictions know whom to hold accountable. The local authorities who bear the responsibility cannot now and should not in the future be able to point the finger of blame at some distant, unaccountable, centralized bureaucracy. By necessity, elections must occur at the state and local level. One-size-fits-all solutions do not work and only lead to inefficiencies. States and localities must retain the power and flexibility to tailor solutions to their own unique problems. This legislation will impose certain basic requirements that all jurisdictions will have to meet, but they will retain the flexibility to meet the requirements in the most effective manner. State and local officials from every state in America will have a voice on this commission. While the commissioners will have expertise and experience with elections issues and administration, they can still benefit from the advice and counsel of those who are on the ground running elections around this country. State and local election officials in each state will ultimately bear the responsibility for carrying out the commission's recommendations, so their voices must be heard as these guidelines and recommendations on best practices are developed. The Help America Vote Act strikes the appropriate balance between local and federal involvement. It provides for federal assistance, acknowledging the responsibility we share to ensure that the elections that send all of us to Washington are conducted properly, without concentrating power in Washington in a manner that would provide, at best, ineffective and, at worst, dangerous. This conference report has received the support of a very diverse group of organizations that care about how elections are run in this country. I'd like to introduce into the record the statements of support from the following organizations: the National Commission on Federal Election Reform, Ford Carter Commission, National Conference of State Legislatures, National Association of Secretaries of State, National Association of Counties, the Election Center, National Federation of the Blind, Common Cause, National Association of State Election Directors, United Auto Workers, AFL-CIO, NAACP, American Foundation for the Blind, National Association of Protection and Advocacy Systems, and United Cerebral Palsy Association. Let me also say, before I reserve the balance of my time, that I have presented the thrust of the bill. I presented the heart of the bill. I'm going to eventually, we have a couple of speakers, and I'm going to conclude by also telling how this bill got here. So with that, I reserve the balance of my time.